Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
B-Pod Studios.
Felger. I don't know, guys. Am I going to play? Am I not going to play? What am I going to do?
Mass.
Yeah, Mass, you stupid. S-T-O-O. Stupid Mass.
It's time for Felger and Mass, presented by DraftKings on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Seattle huddling up, down four, but on the verge of the lead. Wilson with 33 seconds and counting. Waiting on the snap, Lynch to his left, Baldwin to the left as well. Stacked receivers, two to the right. Russell Wilson extends the hands he has. Pass. Wilson, quick throw. And it's good. Intercepted. Intercepted to Malcolm Butler. Butler has it at the one. Malcolm Butler stepped in front of the throw. And the Patriots have possession with 20 seconds to go in Super Bowl 49 with a four-point lead over the Seahawks.
It's got to be one of the dumbest calls offensively in Super Bowl history. You are on the one-yard line, and you have number 24, and you drop back pass. Are you kidding me?
It's called Halo.
When I say Pete Carroll, what do you think of?
Honestly, that,
what's the first thing you think of?
That play. Yeah. That play.
Me too.
I mean, how can you not think of that play? It's like one of the most famous plays, not in just Super Bowl history, sports history. How do you not think of that play?
When I ask you who are the best coaches in the league, and I did early in the week with Greg Bedard, I think you all had him third.
Top five.
Yeah. Second, third, fourth, somewhere in that range. And I think that's probably consensus, right? Like, I probably have to put him there. And I don't want to. I think he's so overrated. Oh, I think he's so overrated as a coach, which doesn't mean suck. He's not completely suck and he's not completely useless. But I think he's so overrated as a coach. And it came out in that moment. You know, he's older than Bill Belichick.
Yeah.
He's the oldest coach in the league.
He's in great shape.
So I'll give him a couple things. One is his physical condition. Like, what are you doing, pal? I'd like to know. Because I'd like to, you know, be that spry at 69. Honestly.
I think he surfs is his thing.
That's it?
Yeah.
Really?
Well, I'm sure there's HGH and everything else going on there, too. But
I don't know about that. What's his diet? Well, I just sounded like Pete there a little bit.
Avocados.
What do you get?
Keto?
Grapefruit. What does he do? I want to know a secret. Other than surfing. Don't tell me that. He has to eat well, too. Anyway, sidebar, that he's in good shape. And I'll also give him credit for this. I think this is his greatest strength as a coach, and that is he is the ultimate turn it loose kind of coach. Just go out and play and have fun and get after it. And he's that way, and he can find players who will play in that system, and he's a good recruiter in that regard, and he identifies the guys on defense that will play that way, and he's done that consistently. He did it here. He did it at USC. He's doing it in Seattle. And, like, that's a real consistent strength that he has. Well, you know, I will give him that.
He's drafted very well, especially, you know, the beginning of last decade.
So I think he's got a good personnel guy out there. It's still that Schneider guy, right?
Yeah.
I think so.
I mean, Schneider's the guy that drafted Russell Wilson. If you listen to Pete, and I don't know if he'll admit it now anymore, because, again, he's got an ego and is sensitive and everything. But when they first drafted Wilson, he admitted, Schneider brought me this guy. I wasn't really that into him. It was Schneider's pick. They had signed Matt Flynn,
yep,
correct,
as a free agent out of Green Bay, and he was going to be the starter. And it was really Schneider's inspiration to go draft. I think it was because, wasn't Schneider in Green Bay, and didn't he see Russell Wilson at Wisconsin? I think that was the connection, if I'm not mistaken. And so that was all Schneider. Pete said, fine, you're the personnel guy. And just, fine, you know, and accept, you know, let him make that pick. I will give Pete credit then. They did start Russell Wilson over Matt Flynn. Now, that's not Schneider's call. Pete Carroll got Russell Wilson in camp, saw immediately what he had, and played him. So I'll give him credit for that, too. He identified the talent of Russell Wilson, whether he drafted him or not. But other than those things, like, he's older than Bill. He's been at it forever, and he's only won one Super Bowl. You know, he gets all of his credit for what he did at USC. He won one national championship. And people forget, and they totally forgive, I think. He gagged away a national championship game nearly as bad as the Malcolm Butler game.
Big time.
I mean, they were prohibitive favorites that game. He let Vince Young run all over him. It's like he only won once at USC, and I think they took it away, if I'm not mistaken, or they took away a bunch of
Yeah, because of Reggie Bush.
Yeah, I don't know if they took away the title or the games or whatever. All that, a lot of that stuff was vacated, but, you know, whatever. In Seattle, like, he's built a nice program. He's got to be the second, third, or fourth best coach. He's won once. And he
lost that second one in the most inexcusable fashion.
I mean, the pass is a great idea to throw the ball to get their touchdown against those guys, unless it doesn't happen.
And then there's the nonsense, the way he explains it. A million miles an hour, he doesn't call his offense. You know, throw it, Bev, right?
Like, throw it, Bev.
I'm going to win.
Daryl Bevel, his offensive coordinator, comes up with this bright idea to throw it, and Pete's like,
"I'm going
to
win." It's just, I'm not sure which down it's going to happen on.
It's like, yeah, whatever, throw it, Bev.
If it doesn't happen, it's because something really, really crazy happens and comes out. Somebody does some freaky stuff.
It's just this mile a minute diarrhea of the mouth.
That
nonsense.
Doesn't make anybody feel any good.
No, look, tactically, I will say this. I told you this before. The most
line up, power, block it. Touchdown. He probably would go in backwards.
That's still my favorite one. Oh, I love that.
Why would you risk your championship on second down?
Because you're an idiot. That's why.
Because you're not calling the plays and you're not dialed in. You're just like, yeah, man, let's go, pumped, Jack. We're going to win it.
Throw it, Bev.
We're going to win it. Throw it.
It wasn't his idea. He doesn't call the plays, but he's in the headset, and they ran it by him. So if we don't have it. I don't need to play the whole answer. But he's saying there, yeah, it was Daryl Bevel's idea. So I'm like, yeah, sure, go ahead, throw it, Bev. It's like, that's some sort of master head coach tactician?
No, look, I generally think you're right. I also think, though, that defensively, one of the most intimidating defenses I've ever seen the Patriots have was under Pete Carroll. I thought they were playing his first year here.
97.
Yeah. Oh, man, they were awesome.
They were awesome.
Okay, but none of them were his players. He just.
Okay, but wait a minute. The same players were the year before, and they weren't quite as intimidating.
Oh, in 96? It was Ty Law's second year. They were all young. I mean,
maybe.
So they're all coming into their prime. Pete takes over and turns them loose. So, yes.
Okay, so then Parcells doesn't get credit for the play of the defense either, or Bill doesn't. Because Pete did the same thing with the same guys.
Yeah, so the coaching-wise, I mean, Pete can coach my defense.
So that's what I'm getting at. I think defensively, he builds an identity and a culture there.
Yes.
I'll give him that.
But even then, they tune him out, and he's had to go through a whole second iteration there in Seattle because they tuned him out too. Ted Johnson was on this morning, and he said this, and he's told me this many times, that he got so sick of Pete Carroll telling him to just go out and have fun and get pumped and jacked that he went home to Texas after the third year and said and told his dad, I don't know if I can take this anymore.
Really?
I have to get out of here.
He said it on the air today too, yeah.
But he's told me that many times, and Pete Carroll was great for Ted Johnson. He played a ton, made a ton of money. He got a great contract. He was a star of that defense. Like, by all rights, a guy like Ted Johnson should have said, this is the guy for me, and I want to play for this guy the rest of my life. By year three, he went home to Texas and said, I don't know if I can do this anymore. This guy's driving me nuts with the pumped and jack crap.
Yeah, I remember by the end of 98, I hated him, so I couldn't imagine what the team felt like about him, especially on that side of the
ball. They tuned him out. By the end of Pete Carroll, I mean, that's when I started covering the team, but you all remember this. They were whacking each other with pool cues at charity events. Terry Glenn was urinating on limos. Like, it was nuts. It was banana land. Zolak and Bledsoe were jumping off of stages. Like, the whole thing was nuts. It was completely out of control because they just tuned him out, and as much faith and trust as he put in them, you give those guys faith and trust, they'll beat you over the head with it.
Sure.
And so it's like that happened in Seattle, so he's gone through a whole second thing. I think Russell
Wilson... Let's get jacked up for this one, man.
I think Russell Wilson has saved them, you know, because they win on offense now. They don't win on defense. So, like, I just think he's so overrated, and I think the coaching is so bad in the league right now that he's a good one.
Yeah.
We like to have fun.
Yeah, I mean, that's part of why I have him so high. It's because you look at the landscape of coaches throughout the league, you kind of have to have him in the top
five. Oh, listen, there's no question it's a collection of jackasses, and he's, you know, just maybe less of a jackass than everybody else. I'm just telling you that whatever
What's
it
up,
is.
PC?
Whatever it is, in Seattle, it works. And it might be the quarterback. I mean, this is a quarterback. Not might be.
It works-ish. He's been there now. I think this is his 11th or 12th year in Seattle.
11th.
Okay. And he truly has one of the great quarterbacks in the game. Belichick called him today the best in the game.
Yeah.
Basically, he said there's no one better than Russell Wilson. Which, as an aside,
we like to have fun.
Thanks, Pete. That's going to come back to Bill when you play Kansas City in a couple weeks. So I don't know if he just gave Kansas City a little fodder, but either way, Pete Carroll now has one of the best quarterbacks in the game, a top three guy. And you're only going to win once? Like, I don't know. I think Pete's starting to trend to underachievement there.
They're pumped about that opportunity as
Sorry,
well.
Sorry, Pete. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not here to defend Pete Carroll. I'm just telling you that in the last, 10 years or whatever it is, they've won more games than anybody in the league but the Patriots. And they did win a Super Bowl.
And I thought they overachieved last year. And a lot of that had to do with Wilson.
Okay, so I'm sorry, Matt. Say that, since Wilson?
Since 2012. So I guess, I don't know, is that roughly where Wilson came in, right? I think, yeah.
So there's another stat I read the other day that since Aaron Rodgers took over, the Packers have the second most wins other than the Patriots. And Rodgers' first year was 08. So...
It's all quarterback related.
Yeah, it's all quarterback. So when Rodgers took over, the Packers have the second most wins. If you start that clock in 2012, Wilson's first year, whatever it was, it's the Seahawks who have the second most wins.
Okay, but
so I consider both now. I consider Rodgers and the Packers run an underachievement. They should have more than one.
I agree.
And I think Seattle's trending in the same direction.
So Bill won the Super Bowls, but again, I mean, how many coaches win multiple Super Bowls with bad quarterbacks?
Only the great one. I'm sorry. Say that again. I wasn't ready for what you said.
I said, how many coaches win Super Bowls with bad quarterbacks or have runs where they make the playoffs all the time with bad quarterbacks?
Yeah, Joe Gibbs and Parcells are the two that I can name.
Yeah, and that's, that's in another era, for crying out loud. I mean, even Bill, still the hole on Bill's resume. People shove that down his throat all the time.
So I don't understand the point.
My point is you can't just give it all to Wilson.
Oh, I'm not. I'm saying they better win.
Oh, sure. Yeah, they need another one. There's no doubt about it.
Or else Pete's wasted them.
Yeah.
That's all. I mean, I honestly think that Russell Wilson might be wasted with Pete Carroll. It might be a waste.
I mean, if he were here, I'll tell you this, he'd have won more than one title. If Bill had Wilson?
Oh, absolutely.
Imagine that marriage.
Absolutely.
Oh, now that is porn.
Okay, but...
These guys are kind of the modern day swashbucklers.
Yeah, they are, Pete. It's just... I mean, the mile-a-minute diarrhea of the mouth is just, fun to make fun of. But I think it also is reflective of when the bullets are flying. I mean, he'll call the defense fine, and he'll identify the guys that can play in his defense. He does that well. But the Super Bowl's there on the one-yard line, and he's just a passenger? Yeah, go ahead, throw it, Bev.
Yeah, I mean, it was kind of freaky. We had kill clock, little time, and, they have lead time for Brady. So I said, throw it, Bev, and, some crazy stuff happened.
I mean, that's what it sounds like.
I bet you my house they couldn't stop him twice, no less three times. I'm not even sure they'd stop him once.
So, every time we face...
They basically said we were trying to get rid of the down. Why?
He's right.
Oh, that is Meanwhile, so Pete's still babbling on.
If it doesn't happen, it's because something really, really crazy happens and comes out. Something really, somebody does some freaky stuff.
Yeah, there's some great coaching.
The pass is a great idea to throw the ball to get their touchdown against those guys, unless it doesn't happen.
That is such an idiotic comment. Oh, God. Yeah, it was a great play until it went wrong.
I'm going to win. It's just I'm not sure which down it's going to happen on.
Yeah, so throw it, Bev. Go ahead.
Throw it, Bev. It's called Halo.
They called the play Halo.
I just want to make it clear. If I sound like I'm defending this guy during this segment, I take it back. Because what a jackass that was to throw that ball. What a mistake. Good God, what a mistake.
That doesn't make anybody feel any good.
Oh, so people put Carroll and Bills, and they don't say he's as good. No one does that. But when they talk about the top coaches in the league, Carroll's on the list. He's on the list. And I wish the coaching were better so he wouldn't be. I think Carroll being on that list, either being the second, third, or fourth best coach in the league, is purely a reflection of the fact that the coaching in this league blows. And boy, I think you can just Belichick v. Carroll, you can just boil it down to that one play on the 1 yard line in the Super Bowl. We'll pick this up on the other side. So your thoughts on that? Do you consider Pete a great coach? We'll do this with all of our other football topics right after this.
If it doesn't happen, it's because something really, really crazy happens and comes out. Somebody does some freaky stuff.
It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter @Felger and Maz.
visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all six world major marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at Boston Scores. .org/Noah.
Doing what they do best.
Now talk about soap opera.
Felger Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
And now New England has to think about taking a timeout.
When he got down there, you know, I thought about the timeout. I knew they only had one timeout left. And when I looked over there, I don't know, something just didn't look right. They started on and they started off, and now.
Hey, you're out.
However many seconds had gone by, and I'm thinking, all right, I'm not going to take them off the hook here by taking the timeout. If they want to use it, let them use it. And Matt said, you know, do you want the timeout?
You want to call the timeout? Do you not want to call the timeout? It was a very lonely moment for me because he wouldn't talk to me. He wouldn't even look at me. He was just kind of staring across the field. You know, the clock is running.
People were saying stuff up in the box asking, were we going to take a timeout? I'd say, Bill, they're wondering about a timeout. He said, yeah, I got it. And, and you could see it when you watch the rewind or whatever. You could see Bill doing that, which is amazing. That's, again, the genius. He said, yep, I got it. Like we were in the meeting room right now.
I said, no, just play goal line.
Goal line three corners, but one of the voices you heard in there was Matt Patricia, who this week is taking credit for that play. But I think he just told you this was a couple of years ago. The Football Life, Do Your Job Special, whatever, you know, the NFL Network thing there the year after. Matt Patricia's telling you there, he's just a passenger. Bill won't even look at him or talk to him.
In the special, by the way, because I watched it this morning to pull the clip, Ernie Adams in that special gets credit for telling Malcolm Butler about how to defend that play.
Matt Patricia is just standing there.
Oh, God, please.
But this week, it's like, I have one of the great plays in NFL history.
No, you didn't. You watched somebody else design it and do it for you.
You freaking douchebag.
Fraud.
Well, and that's how you know it wasn't him, because he's jumping up to tell you what was. Like, that's immediately how you know. But I'll tell you, though, after, like, just quickly.
Did you buy the whole thing that that's what Bill did? Because some people think Bill froze and should have called the timeout, leaving time for Brady after Seattle scored, and Bill just froze, but in the aftermath is claiming it was some sort of master strategy.
So I didn't love the way he worded it. It didn't look right. Easy to say after the fact, right? But given what we know now, I do think he watches the other sideline.
Me too.
To see what it looks like over there. And remember the whole, where's McVay? I can't find McVay. Where's McVay?
Absolutely.
So I think this is a big part of how they manage some of these situations, or how they're able to gather what the other side is going to do, or what they're thinking.
Absolutely.
Because he pays attention to it.
Which is why, just like, for example, if you had a videotape of someone's sidelines and their operation coming on and off the field and how the coaches carry themselves, that might be of value for you when you get into a game and then can look across the field. So I'm just saying, if you happen to have that video, there is some use for it for Bill Belichick. He looks at the other side.
I mean, he definitely does. Again, given what we know now, he studies the behavior. He watches how they move, and he says, is there a tell there? He's like a poker player.
So I mean,
he's good at it, too, man. He's good at it.
So I do buy it. I do think he knew the timeout situation. He didn't freeze. He was waiting Carroll out. I do believe that. I do. Chris in the car, what do you got?
Hi, guys. I want to talk about the Super Bowl, but I'm going to give you, yes, I believe Pete Carroll is a top three coach, because remember what Matt said? Yeah, he inherited a team with the Pats. However, who was buying the groceries at the end there? Greer and Kraft? And that went all south, and I was mad how they walked him out the door. He was doing the interview with Johnny Foxborough on Route 1. But that's why I called, was the Super Bowl. P. Bill outcoached him there. It was about the timeout. Bill knew not to call that timeout, guys.
Okay.
And that was smart.
Yeah, so, like, I'm with you there, except it's all moot if they just hand the ball off.
Exactly. Yeah, like,
I don't want to give Bill too much credit there. I mean, they called the right defense, and they sort of had a sense that Seattle was panicking there. But it's 95% on Pete Carroll and Daryl Bevel and that group.
Just hand it off.
Just hand it off.
So this is, again, like the whole thing of you were talking about this in the NBA the other day.
Throw it, Bev.
You're so consumed with whittling down the clock and everything else that you don't just score the touchdown and put the pressure on the other team. Just hand the freaking ball off. They weren't going to stop Marshawn Lynch.
Jim in Plymouth. Go ahead, Jim.
Hey, apropos to the reason I called, fun fact about Pete Carroll, he's the only Patriots coach who's ever had a losing record. Do that any other time. Just fun fact. I agree with Baz.
Huh? What? His phone's not good enough for me to have to figure out what the hell he was just saying.
There's something about the only Patriots coach other than Belichick not to have a losing record.
Oh, okay, not to have a losing
only
record.
Only coach.
Okay, great.
Only
he went 8-8. Mazel tov. Next.
My point was that I agree with Maz that I think that Arians not only went to Brady and agreed, like told him what he was going to say, but I think that Brady agreed with him and probably told him, considering the narrative all summer long that, I had a mean coach, that he probably told him to go hard on him.
Okay, we'll find out. It'll all come out in the wash. We'll find out. I don't think that Arians is that sophisticated or that devious, or I think he's just sort of to a fault. Just sort of tells you what he's thinking when he's thinking it, and he lets it out, and that's how he carries himself.
I mean, look, I'm not telling you it happened on Sunday, that like he went to him after the game and says, just so you know, I'm going to criticize you. Like, I don't think it was that. I think early on in the process, he said, look, in practice and in games, I'm going to be hard on you. Yeah, Tom says, yeah, no problem. Does that mean Brady liked it on Sunday? I mean, I said this the other day, and I won't change my mind. Arians, dude, shut up. You talk too much.
So
shut up.
I just think he knows he's going to get blamed if Brady goes south. He's going to be blamed. Brady's not going to get blamed. Teflon. Arians is going to get blamed. Wrong system. See, it's the coaching. Arians knows, and so he's going to point the finger right at Brady. All these guys do. They're all such puss bags when it comes to this stuff.
And what if Jameis Winston, now under Sean Payton, gets back on the beam and becomes a player?
That's another one. Is this Katie in Newburyport who told us to get over Tom Brady leaving? Is this you?
Yes, it's me. So here are Katie Cates' notes. One, Tom is gone. We need to have the funeral already. And you guys need to watch Frozen again. Two, there's a new sheriff in town, babes, whether we accept it or not. Leave Nikhil alone, at least for now. Three, results of a sheriff's change will not be seen right away. But what we have seen in week one is perfectly okay. And Tom and team will show up in Tampa Bay. It would be stupid to think otherwise.
Okay, Katie, thank you. I started to write those down, but you went too fast.
Oh, no, I didn't listen to any of them.
We're not going to let the Brady thing go.
I like Katie, but I'm
ever.
The Brady thing is sorry,
ever. It's
that's bread and butter.
It's too good. Bread and butter. It's Edelman 4 yards at the stakes is what that is. That is drive starters. At it, Brady, Belichick, Brady, Patriots, bread and butter, drive starter.
In fact, I don't want him to suck too bad too early. I want to stretch his puppy out. I want a long, painful existence down
there. That's what I want.
More football stuff coming up, right? We'll get to the Celtics starting at 4, but we just want to flush out some of these football items with you right after Murray's update.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. HelplineMA.org.
Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all 6 world major marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at Boston Scores.org/Noah.
Did they say?
say it?
Well, I didn't say that. Yes, you did.
Yes, they did.
Well, you said it. You said it. I can prove that you said it. You said it.
It's Felger and Mass. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
So we're doing some Pete Carroll today because, you know, why not? Playing the Seahawks this week. Get to relive one of the great moments in Super Bowl history. Both good and bad. And so Pete did his conference call with the New England media yesterday. I started to read through the transcript. I'm just like, oh, my God. I can just hear the diarrhea of the mouth. Like, they asked him, how did he get over that Super Bowl loss to the Patriots, you know, since we've been on this? He says, well, we went into the normal mode that we go into to get to the truth of what happened and make sure we get on the same page and with the truth move forward. There was a grieving process that we had to go through. It was such a dramatic, you know, it's like, just like, what does that mean? We went into the normal mode that we go into to get to the truth of what happened and make sure we get on the same page and with the truth.
That's tell the truth tell Tuesday.
Tell the truth Monday.
We
had a really, bare our soul and Beyonce and cry.
Well, so go ahead.
You don't remember the Matt Lauer conversation from after the Super Bowl?
Well, I mean,
I can play the sound.
Go ahead. Yeah, sorry.
You had all the players together and the coaches. And what do you call it on Mondays?
It's Tell the Truth Monday.
Tell the Truth Monday. Yeah. So you stood up in front of that group of players who had to still be in shock and a bit heartbroken.
Varying
what
degrees,
was
yes.
What was the truth you told them?
I wanted to make sure that they went through the whole process of what happened at the end so they knew
went
exactly.
Through the play again,
went through the whole thinking and everything and reminded them of how we had prepared and how we've done things. So they realized that whether or not you want even the players want to agree with the way we did it, know that this is the way we have practiced and prepared ourselves to execute in this moment.
Did they all agree? Did anyone dare stand up and raise their hand and say, Coach?
They could have, but they didn't.
Seriously, what you talking about?
Yeah, and it's a lie, too, because the real answer is I wanted to reward Russell Wilson. That's why that play happened, because otherwise the smart thing to do is to just hand off to Marshawn Lynch, who would have bowled over to the goal line.
Line
and won
up,
the game. Yes, thank
power,
you.
Block it. Touchdown. He probably would go in backwards.
They want him to be the MVP?
Yeah, that was, I mean, that's what Richard Sherman and all those guys in that secondary believed.
Oh, so go ahead, Jimmy. Just tell me what Pete really sounded like yesterday when he answered that question.
Well, we went into we had to go into the normal mode that we go into is just to get to the truth of what happened and make sure we get on the same page and then with the truth, move forward, you know, and there was a grieving process that they had to go through because it was, you know, such a dramatic win for them, and we had to deal with it, and so we did, sometimes when you win the Super Bowl, it's just as challenging as when you lose the Super Bowl, you know, and you see most teams that win the Super Bowl don't do very well the next time around, you know, and so we were right back there again. I was really proud of that.
Okay, so stop.
And, then with
I mean, the nonsense.
Oh, God, please. It's complete nonsense.
Has he ever once said we screwed up?
No. No, and the other thing is, do you remember? They didn't recover from it. That's the whole point.
It was a downward spiral.
They never did. The whole thing deteriorated. They never got back there. The other thing is, what's he talking about they got back there? They didn't get back there. They got the year they lost to the Patriots is after they won. He makes it sound like they got back there after they broke down.
It's just a diarrhea of the mouth. He was asked about similarities between him and Belichick. This was yesterday. And so here's just the word set. Here, Maz, here, pick up the
hand it over.
The transript and tell me what it's going to sound like.
Wait,
you're
going to point
it
to me where it was here exactly.
At the top of the page. Put on your readers.
Okay, right here. All right, hold on.
Come on, Magoo.
Okay. Yep. Here you go.
Dance.
We've been able to maintain consistency, what we believe. You know, it gives you a chance. Doesn't matter, you know, what you're doing, whether you coach your team or run a business, really run a family, you know. You have to, you got to have your act together and what you believe in. You have that, you know, how to make the decisions and choices.
Okay.
And stay in connection with the approach.
He wasn't quite as amped up, but it's the same diarrhea. It's the word salad. Go ahead, Jimmy.
We've been able to maintain, you know, consistency in what we believe. And that's what gives you a chance, no matter what you're doing, whether you're coaching football or running a business or running a family, you know. You got to have your act together and what you believe in. And so when you do have that, then you know how to make the decisions and the choices to stay in connection with that.
Okay, so stop. It's like, what does that mean?
Yeah. Connection with that. With what?
You have to have your act together and what you believe in, and when you do have that, you know you have to make the decisions and the choices to stay in connection with that approach. What?
That, yeah, it's bull crap.
That doesn't mean anything.
Oh, God, please. And the other thing is, I do the young Pete. He had more energy then. It was a little
it's
faster.
True.
But, God,
it's
he true. Listen, they never recovered from it. It's the whole point. He needed to say, guys, we overthought it. He should have stood before the team and said, we overthought it. Here's what the logic was, but in retrospect, we overthought it. He didn't do that.
He's never come close to just, we screwed up.
Oh, my God, what a bonehead. What a, you know, it's amazing. That game was over 5 years ago, and it still pisses me off every time I think
it's
of that
unbelievable,
play.
Unbelievable, right?
It is the stupidest play call in the history of professional sports, let alone the Super Bowl. You've got the one of the great power backs of all time at his peak, for crying out loud. All you had to do was give him the ball. It could have been just him against the other 11 he'd have gotten in.
One of the dumbest calls offensively in Super Bowl history. You deserve an interception.
I agree, Zoe. What a jackass. Holy crap.
Okay. Thoughts on the stakes for Cam? Thank you, Zoe. Thoughts for Cam Newton stakes this week. Cam Newton in Seattle. Stakes. And I think there's stakes there both in terms of him bursting back on the national stage. And how about this? Actually lifting up a young receiver versus burying a young receiver, unlike the previous guy we had here. A little litmus test there coming this week. Never mind the hype train for the Patriots. If they happen to walk into Seattle on a Sunday night on national TV and win that game, look out. So your thoughts on that? Thoughts on Pete Carroll? One more football segment of your wonderful phone calls. 617-779-0985.
Boston's home for sports. Failure. Sports Hub.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. Helplinema.org.
Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all six world major marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at BostonScores.org/Noah.
Felger and Mass.
Whee!
It's way more than just a sports talk radio show.
This truly is the apocalypse.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Pete's obviously a guy that's believes in what he does, and as he should, and he's had tremendous success with it. I really admire the consistency that Pete's shown throughout the course of his career, but you know, I really admire what he did at SC, and then I brought that to Seattle. Also want to wish Pete a belated happy birthday. Glad to see that he's just staying a little bit ahead of me there. So I don't have the distinction of being the oldest coach in the league. But anyway, always happy to see another fellow Croatian do well, just not against us. Like Coach Saban. But Pete's done a tremendous job out there, and his philosophy is evident every time you turn on the film. The energy, the passion, the toughness, the consistency, the mental toughness that the team has is very, very impressive.
A smooch fest there, Belichick to Pete Carroll. Lovey-dovey. Nice, you know, Bill's nice and easy against Pete, right? Swinging nice and loose. Even though Pete's, you know, beat him a share amount of times. I mean, last time the Pats went out there, they lost. Last time Seattle came here, they lost.
Yeah, right. That was the game that, Earl Thomas lit up Gronk.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So, you know, you got him in the Super Bowl, obviously, but it's not like you walk all over Pete Carroll, but I think Bill still sort of treats him that way. Like, did Pete ever go on like that about Tom Coughlin?
You mean Bill?
Yeah, Bill. I'm sorry. Did Bill ever go on like that about Tom Coughlin?
No.
No. Because Tom Coughlin many times bent him over his knee when it mattered most.
No, Coughlin wasn't afraid of Bill.
It's easy for Bill to kiss Pete's ass and do all that stuff because he doesn't fear him.
Bill's not right, because Pete's not in his class and Bill knows it. That's what it is. Don't get me. Don't start reminding me about the Seattle games. The last time they were out there was the Tavon Wilson game.
Okay, back to your thoughts here, as promised. Anything you want football wise? Tom and Newton. Tom and Newton, go.
Yeah, hey, guys, I just want to weigh in on the Patriots receiving core and the fact that it sucks and blows. I mean, I know Bill gets a fair amount of heat for, you know, his inability to pick guys, but I don't think he gets enough. Like, I get that he wins. I get that they won the Super Bowl 2 years ago, but it doesn't need to be this hard. Like, there's no rule that says, like, it has to be a tractor pull and you got to do this, that, and the other thing just to get, you know, a few yards. It's like, get some guys. It's just frustrating. It's annoying.
Okay, well, it's one of the things I want to watch this week and early on in the season. Does Cam Newton's soft approach, his supportive approach of N'Keal Harry, bring something out of him? Because Brady buried the kid last year. Maybe the kid deserved it. Maybe he just sucks and doesn't have the right approach and he didn't deserve Brady's support. But either way, Cam Newton's giving him something different. And if N'Keal Harry responds this week, ooh, a little something to chew on there on Monday, Mess.
Oh, for sure. Again, I mean, but even so, like, I'll tell you, N'Keal Harry might not deserve it. It still doesn't mean Brady acted the right way.
No, it's true. Kirk and Carver. Go ahead, Kirk. It's not going to cut it. You can call us back. You know the number. Nancy's been waiting in Rhode Island. Thanks for hanging on, Nancy. What do you got?
Hi. Who do you think Bill was more likely to call after their losses last week? Jimmy G or Tommy? Well,
apparently, he texts Jimmy Garoppolo every week. Yeah.
Offer them some, you know, self-assurance that they can get it done next week.
Thanks for calling, Nancy. No, I don't think Bill gave Tom a, you know, don't worry about it, kid. You'll be back next week kind of
no
text.
No shot.
Instead, he came out at his press conference on Monday and said, I do, you know, we've had to play other quarterbacks when Tom was suspended. It was just the opposite. Says, well, you know, we've had different game plans for different quarterbacks when Matt Cassel played and Jacoby and Jimmy Garoppolo had to play when Tom was suspended. That's what Bill did. Bill's not sending him any love texts. I wonder if the text affair still goes on with Jimmy Garoppolo. Isaac and Rosendale, go ahead, Isaac, on Tom Brady.
Yeah, you know, boys, I was just wondering how long it is till we hear from, you know, the whole Tom Brady media cartel about how things are going down in Tampa. You know, usually we hear it at the end of the season, you know, depending on how things go. But the way things are going right now and the way Arians is ripping him, I wonder if we're going to hear from them any sooner. Thanks, boys.
So, I mean, I don't know if there's a Brady cartel down there. I think, if anything, those reporters would be a little more loyal to Arians. Because you can't, it's not like you can get close to Brady or cultivate him or, you know, all the guys around here know Brady's dad and his dad talks and his people talk and his circle talks. And so we have the Brady cartel up here because it's here for 20 years. You get to know Brady and his people. I don't think Tampa, those reporters on there, have any of that access or any of that connection.
Especially during a pandemic.
I mean, I wonder if they're going to take any sides. It would just be Arians or, I mean, I have no idea. I have no idea. I mean, I don't hear much excuse making for him down there.
No. Look, I think, again, you're talking about people that are probably more loyal to the Buccaneers brand than anything else. They cover Tampa, right? So Brady's an outsider down there right now.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm not sure how it was covered down there. But, I mean, I put more of it on Arians. I thought Sunday was a reflection of Arians, not Brady. Okay? I mean, Brady got caught up in it, not that he looked great. But I think it was far more of a reflect. I mean, 9 penalties, 3 turnovers, blocked kicks, fumbled kickoffs. I mean, penalties, turnovers, sacks. That's what Tampa was all last year, is what they were on Sunday. That was a reflection of Arians and Tampa, not Brady.
I mean, I think it was a reflection on both. That pick six. I mean, that's about as bad as it gets. But it's, you know, the fact of the matter is, down there, they thought the whole thing was about the quarterback. Like, in their minds,
absolutely.
Their minds, they thought, we just got to swap out the quarterback because Jameis Winston undercut everything we wanted to do. Their defense had the worst average field position start in the league, right? There was all those stats. It was all about the quarterback undermined us. It was the quarterback. And then week one, they get out there, and the quarterback throws 2 picks, a pick 6. They turn it over 3 times, penalties all over the place. Oh, did they suck? Like...
So, but no, and that's why
they awaken to the reality that it's more than the quarterback.
Well, that's why Arians has his backup immediately. Why he's sensitive immediately, because it's the same team with a different quarterback. So how can you blame the quarterbacks? What's the commonality there? It's the coach. So immediately Aaron says, no, Mike Evans ran the right route. That was on Brady, because he's immediately deflecting blame immediately because he knows it's going on him. Ooh, that could get good down there, meaning bad. Scott and Newton. Go ahead, Scott.
Michael, your disrespect for Pete Carroll over the years, it's getting too, getting old, first of all, okay? How many coaches in the playoffs can go into an opposing stadium and win on the road?
How many times has he done it?
he's done it a few times. Look up the stats, okay? Now, if Pete had a coach here back in the 90s.
The two times he made the Super Bowl, I think they were home for the NFC. They definitely beat the Packers the year they lost to you. Yeah. The year before, were they home for the NFC title game?
Yeah.
Good question.
They beat the Niners.
I mean, so I'm going to look at his road playoff record, but go ahead, Scott.
You know as well as I do, if you didn't have Drew Bledsoe, okay, as a quarterback in New England, the most overrated QB in the history of the NFL, he may have gone places. And for Ted Johnson, okay, Mr. Steroids, to come on and always disrespect Pete Carroll when he knows his buddy was the problem with the Patriots. It was never Pete. Pete's a great defense here. Remember that defense against Pittsburgh?
It was his buddy?
98?
Who was his buddy, Bledsoe?
Of course that's his friend. You know that as well as I do. Yeah, they're friends.
I'm not sure how tight they are. But I don't think, no, I think Pete just told it like it is. I told you, Ted Johnson told it like it is. I think Ted had every reason to love Pete. He played him. He was a star in that defense. He signed a big contract. You know, those players had the run of their run of the whole thing. They could do whatever they wanted. You know, Ted should have, by all rights, loved Pete Carroll. Instead, he looked at him and said, this ain't going to work. And he got so sick of hearing the pump and jack thing by the third year, he was thinking about trying to get out. So he's not trying to throw Pete under the bus.
The guy is a boob, and he's rightful. You know, I think he's rightfully made fun of, especially for the whole thing that had that Super Bowl 49. Yeah,
Parcells took Bledsoe to the Super Bowl. I mean, I don't know. Maybe you got your history off because the coach before Pete had Bledsoe and went to the Super Bowl with him, and then Pete got here with Bledsoe and went from 10 wins to 9-8, gone. So I don't know what the hell you're talking about. No. How many road playoff wins has Pete won?
I have no idea what the guy's calling about.
He was a disappointment here. He drafted very well. He turned a team that was 5-11, drafted well defensively, turned that into the league.
I'm sorry. Where did Pete draft well?
In Seattle.
Here. Okay,
not here. No. He drafted well in Seattle. That team was 5-11. He got there. He found guys like Cam Chancellor and built the Legion of Boom and all that. But you know, and he also helped geeks like Gus Bradley and Dan Quinn get head coaching jobs. That alone is a feat of in itself. So I don't know. Like, he's good, but a lot of it, the reason I have him third or, you know, maybe, yeah, behind Andy Reid and Bill Belichick is really has to do with the rest of the coaching throughout the league more than anything else. Like, he's good. He'll probably end up being a Hall of Famer. I don't know if it's deserved.
You mentioned the USC thing, too. And look, the point about him only winning one title there is fabulous. But I don't give him credit for any of that. I don't give him credit for the one they won. He got all the best players. They recruited all the best players. I have college to me is all about the recruiting. I'm sorry. Like that's a different thing. I don't think that as much as people talk about Saban should win it every year.
Unless I have this wrong, I think he's won three road playoff games, maybe two. I can't get this exact game log from you. But the years they went to the Super Bowl, they were home. They were 13-3, 12-4. Okay, so I'm not sure what you're talking about. Did they go on the road last year? And did they win in, was it Dallas? Where'd they win last year?
Green Bay, was it?
No.
They lost
in Green Bay in the divisional round, but I think they were on the road in week one, and they won their wild card game somewhere on the road. Neat. He won his wild card game with one of the best quarterbacks in the league on the road, and then lost to a very flawed Packers team. Pete's overrated. I'm sorry. Doesn't mean he sucks, but he's overrated. And the only reason, in conclusion, here's my thesis statement on Pete Carroll. And you're right. I don't respect him. It's true. Seems like a decent guy. But I don't think he's much of a head coach. I really don't. And the only reason he's considered one of the best head coaches in the league is because the coaching in the league sucks. You know the coaching in the league blows when Pete Carroll is either the second or third best coach in the league. That's when you know that the coaching across the league is just really bad.
Who would you take, Andy Reid or Pete Carroll?
Andy Reid.
Me too. In fact, I don't even bat an eye.
Yeah, I had to think because he's only got one, too. But I'd rather have a guy that can coach a quarterback versus coach a defense.
Plus, he is a tactician on offense.
Yes.
Like he is.
John Harbaugh or Pete Carroll?
Carroll.
Harbaugh. Okay, Sean Payton or Pete Carroll? Me too.
Yeah,
so,
I go Carroll over those.
So now we have him fifth because you got Bill, Payton, Reid, Harbaugh, then Carroll. So fifth. Who else?
That's it.
None of these new guys, McVay.
Yeah,
no.
I'm not taking McVay over Pete.
No.
How did McVay look in his Super Bowl?
I don't know. He's won a crap ton of games.
So is Pete.
Yeah.
Pete's won
over. Yes, okay, he has. You're right, he has. Fine, he has.
And these retreads like Mike McCarthy, who's just fatter Jason Garrett, apparently, with that team. Like
fat Jason Garrett. So either way, again, his ranking, Pete's ranking, is a reflection on the league, not on him. But anyway, let's get to the Celtics, shall we?
I'm in.
I say there's a big ball game tonight, wouldn't you say?
I'd say it's on the larger side.
Let's start to pick it apart after Murray's 90-second update. No commercials.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all six world major marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at Boston Scores. .org/Noah.
Hey everyone, it's Felger here for Cambridge Savings Bank, my official bank. Listen, small businesses are so important to our communities. That's why I'm excited to share CSB's new business hub with articles, tools, and resources to help you start, manage, and grow your small business. Still have questions? Just fill out the contact form on the site to get in touch directly with the small business team. Check it out at cambridgesavings.com/hub. That's H-U-B. Member FDIC.